Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it was, what'd you have, about an hour last night?
Yeah, we lasted to, I think close to 8 o'clock. So it was, a little bit later than an hour. But.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess the, highlights were the, tax assessment. You're going to put that off until the next, meeting. How come?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we realized that during COVID, the mail has certainly been a little bit slower. So we wanted to give some people some extra time. We're going to be working with Laura Schlechte to get out, because that's her ward, Franklin and Brown to West. So going to give us ourselves some extra time to get out and have some more conversations about that reconstruction project. It includes, you know, the water mains and street reconstruction, curb, some of the lead service lines, sidewalk repair, stuff like that. So it's a pretty large project, about $1.9 million project, of which $500 and some change would be assessed to local property owners. So we're going to put that off. It's a big project, and actually correlates with some of the other projects that we need to finish this year, and Bowen, all that sort of side streets going up the way. So we're going to put that off, have some more conversations. We actually voted to amend our public hearing policy to ensure that people have more time in between. Typically what we'll do is send out a notification about a public hearing for something like a street project for a special assessment, and give people 10 days between the notice and the hearing. We extended that last night to 20 days, not only for COVID, but just to give people some more time to give public input and to help them understand what's going on. So we did delay that public hearing until our next meeting on May 26th, and going to be trying to get as much information out about the project as possible to the property owners there.
Is it broken down, Derek? How much per property owner?
Yeah, so when we do the notices, we typically will put in what the estimated cost is going to be for the assessment, and that'll be spread out over 10 years. But what we also did last night was, and typically those are set through a formula based on FCV caps, so that helps keep some of those assessments lower than they typically would be. But in some cases, we have had assessments that, because the high value of the house have gone up, and Franklin is a good example of some of these properties that have gone up over $20,000 in an assessment. So what we did last night was set kind of a maximum cap per assessment for a street reconstruction project like that at $15,000. So I think that'll help in keeping things down. Obviously, it means that we'll have to some degree less money coming in that'll allow us to spread to other road projects, but it does keep the financial strains on some of the property owners a little bit more limited, and also keeps us more in line with the being able to stay consistent with the value that we're actually seeing when we come through and do a road project.
Well, definitely higher
value that's put on a house.
Yeah, definitely higher priced homes.
Yeah, definitely higher price homes. You know, some of the homes on Franklin are probably some of the highest valued homes that we have in the city. I'm sure there's some in Essex Heights too, but you know, it's a. I think the last time that the Water Main and Street were reconstructed were the 1910s, 1920s. So, you know, it's been a little bit. We've continued to put patchwork down and cap over it. So, you know, to get down and actually fix the water main and then do all of the service line replacement is going to be a pretty decent project. And to be able to redo that road is going to help with the roads perpendicular running off of there. And I think we want to make sure that people know what they're getting for their money. And now I'm going to be working with Laura to have some of those meetings and engage in some of those conversations in the week to come.
Well, people not breaking the doors down to take over in the Fifth Ward. You have a handful there.
Yeah, you know, it's as we've reiterated multiple times, you know, with the city manager leaving just because of the toxicity. You know, the city attorney, I think, you know, a large part of just the sustained public attacks, personal attacks as well. You know, and Kelsey in leaving and saying kind of the letter that she delivered claiming just the toxic personal attacks. You know, she did a lot of good work, and but you know, I hate to say it comes with the territory because it doesn't have to. We can agree to disagree on different things. We can disagree without being disrespectful, but you know, there's a small cadre of loud people that are intent on, you know, sometimes just throwing wrenches in the gears to just to throw wrenches in the gears. And I think that that's harmful to the process. Whether people agree or disagree with my priorities or agree with someone else's priorities, that's, you know, that's not how you do business. You know, I've had people that have supported me, that have opposed me on city council, and we all work together. We treat each other with dignity and respect. Even, you know, council member Alexander and I serve on a similar committee. We can get through council meetings without, you know, yelling and screaming at one another. And I think that that's important feature and characteristic to have when you talk about public service. I mean, when you get here, you have to represent people that disagree with you too. And you have to work with them.
Sure.
You can't be calling people, you know, Christian scum and, you know, just derogatory comments. You have to be able to work with everybody. And I think that when people see those sorts of attacks, those sorts of slurs, you know, it makes it hard for people to sign up for that sort of abuse. And I think it's particularly hard during the coronavirus pandemic for people to, you know, have the time or energy or, you know, kind of life plan to step into an office like that and serve the public, however important it is. So, you know, we did get three applicants, Susan Murdy, Peter Bormuth, and Karen Bunnell. So last night we took a vote to go forward in the interview process, and we'll be doing that, I would imagine, over the next couple of weeks here. Not sure if it's going to be before the next city council meeting or not. We got the budget workshop coming up here, I think, on May 21st, where we're going to be talking about the budget, and then the budget vote on May 26th. So I'll be working with the city manager today to figure out some times that may work for those interviews, and then we'll see. You know, obviously have to coordinate that between the city council and the candidate.
Will those be for public consumption?
Yep, those will be for public consumption. We'll, you know, I'm sure have to have them via Zoom. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably schedule them similar to what we've done in the past. We've kind of asked each of the candidates not to eavesdrop on the other candidates' interviews as a matter of professional courtesy. But we'll have them come in and interview, and then it'll be up to council to make a determination to fill that vacancy. I know our charter commission is also going to be meeting to propose some charter amendments to change this process, given if we have another resignation, how that position is filled through, you know, an election, given the time period in which it is in proximity to the next election. So I think they're going to be working on that and some other changes. But, you know, right now that's kind of where we're at with those three applicants. And, mm-hmm. you know, I encourage all of them to reach out to the council members and have conversations about what priorities are important right now here in the city, how, you know, we're responding to coronavirus, and what some of the big ticket projects are going to be coming up here in the next year and a half.
Budget will be, that'll be an enormous challenge, won't it?
Yeah, you know, and as we kind of talked about last night, you know, the budget, you know, typically we can set a budget and do a relatively good job at, you know, hitting the mark by the end of the year. I think this budget in particular, with the emergency that we're in and with some of the changes in terms of revenue coming into the city, with the delaying of tax filing, you know, with the economy largely shutting down and loss of revenue projected there, we've already made a series of decisions that come the end of the next fiscal year should save the city about $2.6 million. But, you know, it could be a scenario where more cuts are necessary. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of we'll have to wait and see. And that's why I think we'll need some good, hardworking people on council and in the Fifth Ward that can collaborate, work well with one another, and help us kind of steer the ship out of the stormy waters here.
Yeah, we're hearing many of the cities now are laying off or furloughing. And mm-hmm. I know you have some people laid off, right?
Yeah, so we've been actually pretty proactive with our response here at the city. We, you know, did a lot of freezing of different projects, different expenditures. Some of that stuff, like the King Project MLK Center, had shut down for other reasons. But we did go through and do some layoffs, some furloughs within the mm-hmm. Police department, some MAPE layoffs, and some other layoffs within some of the different departments. There are some positions that through attrition, retirements, are going to be left unfilled. Those decisions are what's going to probably save us about $2.6 million. And we're trying to figure out how to, you know, kind of steer the ship in the right direction, figure out what we need to do here in the upcoming budget to continue to help the Jackson community residents, those that are have and are struggling, and the businesses that have been impacted by the coronavirus recover, and for the city and the residents to continue to provide the same level of service, hopefully, that we have been. You know, we just got the leaf pickup service restored. People have probably seen the trucks that we had purchased last year out and about.
Saw yesterday.
This year during spring. Yeah. They were over here in the 6th Ward, and we got 4 of them out there now. So they're going through and you know, sucking up more stuff out of the streets, trying to keep our streets clean and keep the catch basins clean, stuff like that. So it's been, you know, we've started to expand some of those services over the past year, rethink of how we do different things. And it is unfortunate that, you know, we're kind of coronavirus crept up and hit us when we were really hitting our stride. I think the economic development was starting to hum downtown and are starting to get our neighborhoods cleaned up. But as we talked about, one of the things that Councilwoman Schlechte and I really want to do is revisit our 10-year strategic plan. I think it's a good opportunity now that the coronavirus has hit. It's been forcing us to think differently about the way in which we do certain things at the city and provide different services. You know, we had the Jackson Overall Economic Stabilization Program that we effectuated a lot of over the past decade in terms of cleaning up our community and getting rid of a lot of the blight and starting an economic engine downtown and starting to pull that progress out and into the neighborhoods. You know, that was 2011-ish that we put that plan into place. And now I think sitting here in 2020 with the coronavirus having hit and kind of redefining how we do a lot of things, it's a good opportunity to revisit that probably once we get a new 5th Ward City Council person involved and kind of chart out the next decade of what we can do here in the city and what kind of community we want to build together.
What about the King Center, Derek? What's happening or not happening there?
Yeah, so when we met with Center for Family Health, we actually went over to the fire station on Prospect to investigate that as a potential testing site, additional testing site for COVID-19. And we went over to the King Center afterwards, thinking that that you know we could use the inside of that. Mercer actually got into it and done a bang up job of clearing out the inside. So they had cleared everything out. Actually, cut new holes for expanding some of the rooms in there, expanding the weight room. So that project was put on hold. Obviously, on May 7th, construction industry got back to work through the governor's executive order. So that project is resuming, and we've already bonded for that money. So we're going to be continuing to work on that project and get that done. That's been something that's been long awaited in the community, and you know, it's torn apart now, so we got to get it put back together. But the insides are going to look a lot different. So, so excited for that project and moving forward. And we're probably going to slow down on the Vermeulens for the time being and investigate some other ways of doing some of these projects. And that's not to cause any concern or not anyone's fault. We did something similar when I was working on the CP Federal City Square and the Glenn Parker mural project. That, you know, it started off with one plan of, you know, being a small little building on the south side of that park there, and it grew and the funding sources developed and changed over the 2 or 3 year period that we worked on that. So these projects evolve, and I think coronavirus is going to cause a lot of projects that the city was working on to evolve and to look for different partners, different funding mechanisms, and that's all right. That's a challenge that we've seen before and something that we've been able to find a solution for before as well.
Quick talk on marijuana here. Medical facilities into adult use.
Yeah, so one of the things that we did last night, we've had a number of different developments coming into town to put medical use license facilities into the city. We approved a couple of licenses. There's some more interest, obviously, there. But of those that we kind of started working on this with the last passage of the medical marijuana, once the city opted into that. And then when the state passed adult use and the city opted into adult use, essentially what we did was change, ensure that those that had medical grade licenses could also apply for and receive adult use for the same facility. So they could essentially, you know, transition their medical to adult use in the city.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies, no bodily threats, have you?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Take care. Stay safe. The mayor.